Worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. Welcome to St. John's for worship this evening. It is good to see you here. First things first, at some point this evening you are asked, whether you're a first-time visitor or a lifetime member of St. John's, to sign the Friendship Register. That helps us to serve you better. Thank you for doing that. Secondly, today we continue our stewardship series that we began last week called A Time for Everything. We're focusing on our use of God's gift of time, but also the other blessings that he gives to us. And today God's word focuses us on having a proper perspective, on having not just a temporal perspective, but an eternal one. To guide our worship, it's going to be pretty much the same flow as we have become accustomed to, but this is technically setting six, which means some of the responses that we have typically sung are going to be spoken, but we're going to have the same elements in the liturgy. Please do consult the screen for all the directions that you need. And with that, we'll begin our worship with hymn 701, Order My Life, Lord, As You Will.
Welcome to St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. For more information about St. John's Lutheran Church and school, please visit the stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered.
Blessed are they whose sin the Lord does not count against them.
So let us confess our sins to the Lord. Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us according to your promises in Christ Jesus.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. O God, you reveal your mighty power chiefly in showing mercy and kindness. Grant us the full measure of your grace that we may obtain your promises and become partakers of your heavenly glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. First reading from God's Word chosen for today is recorded in Acts chapter 13, verses 26 through 39. Paul strives to convince his fellow Jews that there is more than just their earthly lineage and their an earthly status as God's people. There is eternal salvation in Jesus. Gentlemen, brothers, sons of Abraham's family, and those among you who fear God, this message of salvation has been sent to you. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize him, and by condemning him, they fulfilled the statements of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no grounds for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they carried out everything that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he was seen by those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. These same individuals are now his witnesses to the people. We are preaching to you the good news about the promise that was made to our fathers. God has fulfilled this promise for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is also written in the second Psalm, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." That God would raise him from the dead, never again to be subject to decay, God said in this way, "I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David." Therefore, he also says in another place, "You will not let your Holy One see decay." For David, after he had served God's purpose in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid to rest with his fathers and saw decay. But the one God raised did not see decay. So, gentlemen, brothers, let it be known to you that through this Jesus, forgiveness of sins is being proclaimed to you. Also forgiveness from everything from which you could not be justified through the law of Moses. In this Jesus, everyone who believes is justified. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm for today is Psalm 16a. That's in the front of the hymnal. We will have the cantor introduce the refrain and the first set of verses.
Thank you.
Our second reading is recorded in Paul's inspired letter to the Galatian Christians, chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. These verses are going to be the basis for the sermon today. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. To be sure, whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Indeed, the one who sows for his own sinful flesh will reap destruction from the sinful flesh. But the one who sows for the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let us not become weary of doing good, because at the appointed time we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who belong to the household of faith. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. We'll join together in speaking the verse of the day, which is from Isaiah 25. I don't think we'll need four alleluias. I think one will just suffice before and after. We join together. Alleluia. Surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Alleluia. The Gospel according to Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. Jesus encourages his followers also to have an eternal perspective. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the experts in the law, be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He was speaking plainly to them, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But after turning around and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have your mind set on the things of God, but on the things of men." He called the crowd and his disciples together and said to them, "If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. After all, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? In fact, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. The congregation may be seated. We'll sing our hymn of the day, hymn 702, "Come Follow Me, the Savior Spoke." Grace and mercy and peace, they are yours in abundance from God our Father, through our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our consideration today is the second reading that we heard, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Dear friends, if you have driven down some country roads recently, you have most likely noticed. Harvest season is just about here. The crops, particularly the corn, is turning from that deep green to that light brown. And we're kind of used to seeing the same staple crops throughout the state of Wisconsin, right? Corn is huge, right? There's soybeans. There's hay. Some alfalfa in there. Yeah, seeing those fields of those crops is just about as common as seeing a clear blue sky on a cloudless day. If you drive through the Wisconsin countryside, do you ever see fields of mango trees? Fields of broccoli? I mean, that'd be a sight, but I haven't seen any of those. What about fields of boysenberry bushes? No? Why don't we see those? And if you're trying to think of the answer to that question, I guarantee you're thinking too hard. We don't see those because, by and large, farmers around here don't plant them. Right? That's kind of an answer that's so obvious it's almost silly to say it out loud. It's a foundational law of God's created order. Plants reproduce after their own kinds. Where corn grows, it's because corn seed was planted. Where soybeans grow, it's because soybeans were planted there. In the same way, if I come across an apple tree, I can be pretty confident that somebody either planted it there or somebody tossed an apple core there and God's created nature took its course. If I'm a farmer and I plant corn, I certainly don't expect to see a field of soybeans grow up. If I plant an apple tree, I certainly don't expect a nice cherry tree to grow up. And if I were to walk around a farmer's cornfield and express my displeasure at the fact that there aren't any juicy mangoes to eat around, that farmer would probably ask me if I'm feeling okay. You harvest what you plant. Or, as the adage first recorded in Galatians 6 goes, you reap what you sow. It's not hard for us to acknowledge that logically, right? It makes total sense. But at the same time, it's often more difficult to accept spiritually. Struggle a little bit with that spiritual truth, don't we? What do I mean? Well, somehow I have a pretty easy time being convinced that I should have really good things coming to me regardless of what I sow. I sow selfishness, but then I complain when I don't have anybody there to help me when I need it. I sow hostility, and then have the nerve to cry out as the victim when I am the victim of somebody else's hostility. If I sow arrogance, should I expect to reap the humility of others around me? If I sow lies, should I wonder why no one will trust me or listen to me? If I sow harshness and destructive criticism, should I wonder why I don't receive grace and compassion from others? If I so flying off the handle in anger at the drop of a hat, does it make sense that I would expect to receive patience and forbearance? If I abuse the body that God has given to me by subsisting on Little Debbie's and Doritos and washing it all down with some Red Bull or some Coca-Cola, should I be surprised when my doctor reads me the Riot Act when my cholesterol tests come back? Or should I complain that it's not fair that my body isn't functioning very well? If I so neglect of God's design and God's will for things like marriage and the family, would it be any wonder that I would reap very dysfunctional, messy relationships and a dysfunctional, messy life? After all, if I use a drill as a hammer, I probably shouldn't wonder why it doesn't function as a drill anymore. You reap what you sow. It makes logical sense. But we struggle to acknowledge it and accept it in spiritual terms. And there's another reason for that. And that's because very often, it doesn't look like that rings true in this sin-stricken world, that you reap what you sow. Yes, because often it seems like going God's way puts you at a disadvantage, right? We just heard Jesus talk about that in the gospel lesson, right? What did he tell his followers to do? Deny yourself and take up your cross to follow him? Well, come on, Jesus, at least make it a little worth my while. Well, it seems that the good side doesn't always win in this world, does it? Crime pays. Some cheaters do prosper. Honesty isn't the best policy because it can get you in trouble. Those who step on the heads of others to climb the ladder reach the top, while ones who refuse to do so get trampled. Indulgence is glorified. Substance abuse and sexual immorality are so commonplace that they've become fodder for many a comedy routine. Restraint is a weakness. Faith is foolishness. Grace will get you taken advantage of. Forgiveness is unfair and therefore unjust. The perpetrator has his wickedness excused with victimhood, while victims are relegated to the forgotten footnotes. Warnings given in love are dismissed as judgmental. Self is prized over sacrifice. Patience is no longer a virtue. Instant gratification is the order of the day, because if I don't get what I want, when I want it, and how I want it, then I'm going to ask to talk to the manager. You reap what you sow. May not often seem like it, right? It may even rarely be our lived experience, but the fact remains. You will reap what you sow. If not in this life, certainly at the end of it. Listen again to what Paul wrote. Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. Don't be misled into thinking something is true which is not true. Yes, it may look like sin pays, but that's not the truth. God is not mocked. In other words, one can't go on thumbing one's nose at God, reject him and his will in heart and in action, and then expect to get off scot-free at the end of it all, regardless of how much temporary prosperity or pleasure one has enjoyed. The one who sows for his own sinful flesh will reap destruction from the sinful flesh. And let's not get it twisted here. These words are not for us to hear and think, yeah, all those godless heathens out there really do have another thing coming one day. Now, this is for some self-reflection, dear Christians, and evaluation. Am I sowing to please the sinful nature? Am I sowing anger and discord and selfishness and indulgence and harshness and rejecting God's will for me in my life? And this isn't a matter of, if I am, oh well, get them next time. It is what it is and move on. No, we heard it very clearly from God's inspired words through Paul, right? Sowing sin leads to what? Reaping destruction. Eternally. That's a big deal. My sin is a big deal. Your sin is a big deal. You reap what you sow. Sow sin, reap destruction. A sobering reminder, isn't it? Maybe one that we need on occasion, right? But having taken that and let it sink in, dear Christians, remember too that destruction is not your destiny. Yes, you are sinners and so am I. But what does God's word tell us? There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God was not content to just let sinners sow their own sin and reap destruction from it. He sent Christ to reap the destruction from the sin that we have sown. His death on the cross atones for our guilt. His perfection pays for our sin. His resurrection from the grave conquers our death. And he gives us his Holy Spirit to cause the seed of his word to be planted within us. And from that word the Holy Spirit has caused to sprout and grow saving faith in Jesus. And by word and by sacrament, God the Holy Spirit has nurtured that faith and made it grow. And not just grow, but bear fruit. God has sown his Spirit within us that he may harvest from us a harvest of righteousness, that he may harvest us for eternal life with him. In view of that, this is his urgent call to you now. The one who sows for the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Don't sow sin, don't sow for the self, sow for the Spirit. Think back to Jesus' words in our gospel reading. If anyone follows me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever saves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. What good is it if a man should gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Which is more valuable? The temporary or the eternal? Which perspective is fuller? a temporal one or an eternal one. Sow for the Spirit, reap eternal life. So what does that look like? It looks like speaking the truth. Even if it won't work out so well for you in the here and now. It looks like sticking with God's design and will for marriage and the family, even though that is very much countercultural. Give that loving warning, even if you're 99% sure that it's going to be dismissed. Sow the seeds of the fruits of the Spirit, like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And you just may find that God blesses you with those same fruits of the Spirit from others. Rather than expecting something from someone, look to give to someone. Rather than hoard those blessings of time and talent and energy and yes, treasure, be generous with them. And you just may find that God gives you more of those things. Not so that you hoard them, but so that you're generous with them again. Dear Christian, sowing for the Spirit takes intention. It takes effort. It takes focus. And as such, things that take effort, they can tire you out, right? It takes effort to watch after a toddler all day. That tires you out. It takes effort to sow for the Spirit. And so it can be tiring, especially when my scale is tilted very heavily toward the I'm giving side and very lightly toward the I'm receiving side. And at such times, Satan and the sinful nature are great at trying to convince us that it's not worth it, that it won't make a difference, that it's meaningless. God, through Paul, begs to differ. Let us not become weary of doing good, because at the appointed time, we will reap if we do not give up. And we got to mention here, there's actually a different way to translate the very last phrase of that verse. You could also translate it to say something like, at the appointed time, we will reap without ever getting tired, or we will reap without ceasing. So for a while now, reap forever without ceasing in heavenly glory. It's not meaningless. It does make a difference. And it is worth it. You reap what you sow. One final word. I would encourage us all to consider well the last verse of our lesson. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who belong to the household of faith. Let that sink in for a second. God says, take special care to make whom the object of our doing good, to make whom the object of our sowing for the Spirit? You're sitting next to them. You're in the same building with them. You're fellow believers. So, for their sakes, that's where it starts. If we can't get that right, we're not going to get much else right either. How can we sow for them out there if we can't first sow among ourselves here? sow the seeds of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Sow it for them. Stand side by side with them. Love them and support them. Forgive them and restore them. And you know what will happen? God will cause your sowing to multiply. Then it won't be just one sowing for the Spirit. It will be many. Because you are working together with them. You reap what you sow. So let's get to sowing. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's join together to confess our Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The congregation may be seated. We bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Lord, by sending your Son to live and die as our perfect substitute, you provided forgiveness and salvation for a world full of sinners. We praise you for your generous, saving love. We thank you for reaching out to each of us personally with your word in the waters of baptism. You've set us apart as people who belong to you, people whose purpose in life is to receive your love and to live to your glory. Gracious Father, remind us that you have called us to live for you and not for ourselves or according to the standards of the world. Help us to devote our time, our talents, our energy, and whatever you have placed into our hands to those things that will be of value for eternity, that we would always have an eternal perspective. Help us to love you and others and to use things as you desire instead of loving things and trying to use you and others for our own selfish desires. May our hearts belong completely to you, so that our lives can be devoted to the things that truly matter. Bless all who are suffering or in need. Be with the lonely and the grief-stricken. Move us to use the unique gifts you have given each of us to bring comfort and help to those who need it. Bless the government and the church, and make us blessings to both. And hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private prayers. Crush the selfishness that comes to us so naturally and fill us with joyful generosity that we may sow not for ourselves, but for the Spirit. We dare ask all this, Father, not because we deserve to, but because your Son has earned the right for us to approach you as your dear children. And in that confidence, we close our prayer. Amen. A reminder, if you brought an offering with you this evening, please leave that in the alms box in the back. And with that, we'll continue with hymn 694, Jesus, I My Cross Have Taken. Please stand for prayer. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we pray as Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. The congregation may be seated. Our closing hymn is 867. Please note that the cantor will sing stanzas 1 and 2 and the first refrain, and then the congregation joins in the rest.
Thank you.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Our Sunday worship services are from 9 a.m. every Sunday and every Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m. For more information about St. John's Lutheran Church and School, please visit stjohnsbaraboo.org. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
WRPQ Baraboo.